Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, when you read an entire chapter of the scriptures, there's so many hundreds or thousands of directions you can go within the writings of one chapter of the Word, because the Word is alive. The Word of God is life. It's spirit. The Bible said His Word is spirit and His Word is truth. The thing is to a man without the Holy Ghost that has not been filled with His Spirit. Many people confess, say, to be Christians. They say, you know, I'm a Christian. I've been born again. You know, I'm a Christian. I went to church and I said the sinner's prayer. Or I'm this and that. But they don't have God's Spirit. Even though they might confess that they're a Christian, they might speak like they're a Christian, they might go to church is what we think that Christian people do, but then yet they've never been filled with God's Spirit. They've never received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And the thing is, there is a difference. Are you saying, well, Brother Rob, is there a difference in a Christian and a man full of the Holy Ghost? No. There's a difference between the religious person and a man full of the Holy Ghost. There's many religious people throughout America. If you would take and you would listen to the statistics, you might say, they say that America is 80% Christian. Well, I wished if this country was 80% Christian, there would be many things that we would not be dealing with in the judicial system. There would be many things that we would not even be seeing politicians standing before the American people trying to get into office with their deceitful and foolish ways, and of their demoralization of their thoughts and their ways, if America was 80% Christian. Now the thing is that everybody that goes to church on Sunday, and they have what they would call a pastor, or this and that, I wish that we could say that all of these were Christians. I wish that we could say that. But as we read right here in the scriptures in Thessalonians, we find that there is much deception. And we find out that the son of perdition, as we read about here, being revealed. And it talked about the mystery of iniquity. And the thing is, it talks here about Satan and the signs and the lying signs and wonders. And even as you've heard me teach, even would seem contrary to most of our Pentecostal churches, of the indoctrination of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of the evidence of speaking in tongues. Where you've heard me speak, what would appear that I speak against that? I've had many Pentecostal people that have separated from me because I do not teach the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost of speaking in tongues. So I've had many of them separate from me for that reason, even though I believe in speaking in tongues and I speak in tongues and I pray in the Spirit. Brother Paul said, I speak tongues more than all of you. But he made a statement, but wouldn't it even be much greater to speak five words that you could understand? If I come in here and spoke in tongues tonight and I sit here and had you sitting there all looking at me for 30 minutes and I go to speaking in tongues, what does it profit you? It builds up maybe my innermost man, but that would be a selfish thing for me to do, to build up this innermost strength as it speaks about in Jude and do this. But then yet we find that many churches in America, and they have their time just as I'm having a time right now to speak to you and indoctrinate you, and they will get you in the church and they'll indoctrinate you that tongues is of the devil. See, and you're thinking, well, why is this so? Why would one preacher get up and say that and another one say something different? You see, this is why we got to go line upon line and precept upon precept and stay within the Word of God. And we find in the writings and in the scriptures and the ones that Jesus dealt with, the apostles dealt with, that when they came along and he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, we've not even heard of such a thing. And he prayed with them and laid hands on them and they spoke with tongues. Well, this is where many of the Pentecostal churches get that doctrine. Out of Acts 8 and even in 9 and 10 and 18, where it speaks about that these ones that when they received this infilling of the Holy Ghost, that it said that they spoke in tongues. Now, and this isn't my direction tonight, but it's for whatever reason, the Lord took me here for a moment, because sometimes you'll say things and then people's mind will wander and you've got to clear up and tie up the loose ends for you to go where you want to go. And the thing is that in this indoctrination, I know many of you are taught with this, but you don't know who's sitting in their midst and what their indoctrinations are. And the Lord doesn't like to leave loose ends. He likes to bring the Word of God forth and bring it forth to establish thoughts and minds. Now, the thing is that I was a Pentecostal minister preaching. Never really taught that doctrine because God kept me from that and took me another way. I knew that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. There was not a doubt. He gave me the power to overcome things of the world. And he put such a love and a joy and a desire and a drive within my heart when I made a conversion over to him. And I saw many tongue talkers in the Pentecostal realms that did not have what I would say the fruit of the Spirit or of the Holy Ghost within their life. So this is when I made a decision in my early walk in the Pentecostal realms that I was not going to preach that doctrine. Even though I sat under that doctrine, and even though that I fellowshipped among that doctrine, I could not believe that doctrine and preach that doctrine. Even though that the gift of tongues came to me, and I found myself waking up one night way over in the morning hours, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and this language was speaking through me, and I was speaking in tongues. And the thing is, it would have been real easy for me to get on board with that doctrine, you know, because then I'd become a tongue talker, so it would have been easy for me to teach that the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. But we can also find in Acts the second chapter that they were found what appeared to be drunk. So I could teach that doctrine also, that these ones that stagger around drunk in the services would be the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they found these men that were speaking in another language, but an understandable language in another man's tongue. So I could say, unless you come into church and I have a Japanese man sitting here and you start speaking fluent Japanese to him, then I can't say that you'd have the Holy Ghost. But I could teach that because I got Bible for that also. So we find that within the scriptures, we find that even they found them prophesying. So I could say, wouldn't we say that the gift of the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the evidence would be prophecy? But you know where I stand on this. The Bible says that he gave us the Holy Ghost and endued us with power that we could conform to the image of God. This is why he gave us the power of the Holy Ghost, is the conformity, for we could walk in what we would call a Christ-like way. Now, when we profess Christianity, we need to be professing a Christ-like life. And anything that we're doing within our life, if we take and envision Jesus on this earth and we can't see him doing that, how can we profess Christ-like or that we are a Christian if we are doing something that we couldn't see him doing? If you are doing things, you know, I find as a minister, and I found over the many years as walking in the gospel, you might say, you find people that when the minister's coming around, all of a sudden they start reeling in and tightening up things. I've been there. I've done it myself. And the thing is, like, well, maybe we better change things a little bit. I could remember a little skit, just talking to you for a little bit here this evening. I could remember a little skit that I saw the youth do in the church service one time, and they pulled up four chairs right up in the front of the church, and they said, these were young kids, probably 10, 11 years old, maybe 12, and they set them in the two chairs up in the front, and then they put another couple kids about the same age sitting behind them in the back, and they were pretending to be mom and dad driving to church. Well, dad's chewing mom out, and mom's turning around screaming at the top of her voice at the children. And boy, they're just at it going like this. And the guy acts like he drives into church parking lot, and there's the pastor. And all of a sudden, everybody calms down and straightens up and walks right and talks right. Hey, pastor, how you doing? You see? And I remember being one sitting in the church watching it, and it ministered to me because I'd been there like that. Amen. But the thing is we need to know that when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we're endued with the power of God, and God is present with us on a continuous basis. And the thing is we don't live a double standard life. We're not Christian when we go to church or when we're around Christian people. The Bible teaches that we are the children of light. And when we are the children and the creatures of light, light eradicates darkness. And when you become into the presence of darkness and people that are the children of darkness, then the light within you should eradicate the darkness within those people. But when you come amongst darkness and you fellowship darkness and you act like darkness, that means that you do not have the Spirit of light, which is Christ dwelling within you, and that you are nothing more than a reflector, and you reflect whatever you're around. So if you're Christ-like when you're around Christians and you're like worldly-like when you're around the people of the world, means that you are just a reflector and you reflect whatever's around, and you are not one that emanating the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you, because he is all power and all authority, and we are not subject to any principalities or powers or princes of darkness in no way, shape, or form. And when we have his Spirit, we minister by the Spirit, and we speak by the Spirit, and we eradicate the darkness that would separate you from God. Amen. Now, speaking here, when we're looking here within the scriptures here in Thessalonians, There's a few things that I would like to maybe touch upon. It says here that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Well, you know, many times we think of what a shaking is. What is a shaking? And we say, not shaken in mind. And realize that when at any time that there is a shaking in your mind and within your thoughts, and you give place to the accuser of the brethren, the Bible said that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And when he comes, he's going to accuse within the mind and the thoughts. The warfare is within your thought life. The warfare is within the mind. And until you learn to take authority over your thoughts, the Bible said to try every thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself before the knowledge of God, or casting these things down. Just paraphrasing with you a little bit. Many times I quote scriptures, and I may not be quoting them verbatim, but I'm trying to just bring the life of the Spirit out of what the Spirit said. And when Jesus quoted the Old Testament, if you'll go over and read in the New Testament, when he was quoting the scriptures from the Old Testament, he did not quote them verbatim. He done it in such a way of, maybe we could say, paraphrasing them, but still bringing out the gist of what was being said. My pastor, Brother Pike, he would take many things from maybe a part of the scriptures over here, and he'd take part of the scriptures over here, and he'd somewhat put those things together, and he would say, and it is written, and he would speak, and you'd think, well, I can't find that thing. But you would find it if you was in the spirit of the word, because of what he's speaking is exactly by the spirit and right. Now, we don't ever want to add to or take away from this word, but if I find in one passage of scripture that the drunkard's not going to inherit the kingdom of God, and then I find over in another part in the scriptures that I find that where the idolater isn't going to do it, and I put both those together and I say it is written that the idolater and the fornicator or the drunkard is not going to inherit, even though that's wrote in different places. You see, I'm still quoting the word of God, even though that maybe I put the two passages of scriptures together. And Brother Pike used to do those things in many, many times, but it was the word. He come to the revelation of the spirit of the word, and that anything that a minister teaches, it has to be witnessed within this word. If it's not in this Bible, throw it out. If it isn't in the word, don't receive it. Don't take it. You know, and if he comes up and he says, well, I've got a revelation. No, you're not going to find it written there, but I've got a revelation. Don't receive it. Now, I will say this in making sure we understand that. It's like somebody was dealing with smoking real bad. Say, well, can you show me in the Bible where that I cannot smoke? Well, I can show you that in the Bible, it does not say that you shall not pick up Marlboros. It does not say thou shall not pick up Winston-Salems or Kool's. No, we're not going to find it like that. But it says not to defile the temple of God. Amen. And the thing is that we go over into Old Testament teaching, we find much writings and much teachings on diet and on foods and different things, because God's concerned for this tabernacle and this temple. And if we're abusing this thing and not taking care of it, we're not a very good steward over what God has given us. Amen. We could talk about this tabernacle that you are asking God to tabernacle in. Amen. And let me talk about your house. If you smoke in your home and you want me to come fellowship with you, I probably won't, because I don't like it. So why do you think God would tabernacle in your vessel when you're polluting it with all of those kind of things? He's not going to tabernacle there when you're polluting it with rock and roll music. He's not going to tabernacle within your spirit when you're polluting it with vile or guile. He is not going to tabernacle there when the fruits of the world are dwelling within you. The Bible says to come out of the world and to be a separate people. You know, so the thing is that if you're going to be a Christian and profess Christianity, then you are going to have to separate yourself from the world and the things of the world. Let me tell you what dangerous Christianity is. Dangerous Christianity is when we're always looking for what is okay in God. You know, well, I think this is okay. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with this. And when you're always walking down that road and that's what you're looking for, you're going to find yourself falling off into darkness. We don't need to do that. We don't need to always be looking for what we think we can get by with. You know, this is the way some employees are. Well, I'm just going to do what I think is going to be okay, or I think just enough for that the boss isn't going to be mad at me. They'll never be a good employee, and they'll never really hold a job very long. What a man should do is do to the very best of his ability and skills and press as hard as he can. And if the employer doesn't reward that, then he will find that God will move him to a greater reward and to greater things. So, you know, God's principles work, brothers and sisters. They work in all facets of life. It doesn't matter if we go into the employment realms and employer realms. It doesn't matter what we speak about in the ways of business, in the ways of health, in the way of friends. The Bible says if you want friends to show yourself friendly. And there again, we got to take that line upon line and precept upon precept. It's not a forward woman there when we're speaking like this. It doesn't give that opportunity or one that's not shamefaced. So we got to stay within the guidelines of the scriptures and within the word. But as we back up here and we speak about the mind, and we talk about not being soon shaken within the mind. We find this shaking within the mind, and we're going to find an instability within the people. So we got to first learn to control our thoughts that come forth within the mind. Speaking with a brother just the other day, and I'm going to use something simple. Jesus, when he spoke to the people, he would use farming. He would use plowing and sowing and reaping and many things to bring forth a point. But as I was speaking with a man the other day, he was dealing with an individual and he went and finished a job and completed a job. He got the job all done and he called and left a message and said, "Hey, I want to pick up a check." Well, he didn't get no response back from the guy. And this went on a couple days, and he said that he was dealing with anger and he was dealing with all these things. Just using this as an example, what happens many times with the mind. And he starts saying, "Well, this man is being evasive to me. This man is going to try to cheat me. You know, I come in, I've done a nice job, I worked hard, and this man's not straight. He's not going to pay me, he's not going to do this." And he said these things were starting to rise up within him. And he said that, you know, he called and he'd get a machine, and he'd call and get a machine, he's getting ready to rebuke him right on the machine, this and that. And then all of a sudden he gets a call. And the man was very nice, and he said, "Hey, I'm sorry, I forgot to let you know, but the check was already put in the mail a couple days ago, man. The job was great." And he thought, "Oh boy, am I ever so glad that I kind of kept somewhat of a control of my mind, and I didn't call this guy and tell him how sorry he is or this and that." You see, now you think, well, what does that have to do with Brother Rob? Why would you even think like that or even speak about such a thing? Are you teaching us to be business people? No, I'm teaching you thoughts here. See, here's a man that almost let his thoughts out of balance, and he almost went and done some kind of thing that could have really offended a man in such a way he would not have been a customer in the future, or he may not have been able, you know, use this man for a reference or whatever. You see, and the thing is that because he kept a control over his thoughts and refrained from doing this very thing, you see, it kept a tranquility and a peace, and everything was in order. Now, spiritually speaking, this is what happens sometimes. You know, sometimes people will start shunning other people because they say, "Well, they don't like me." And then all of a sudden, if Brother Ed receives a thought and thinks, "Well, Brother Andy doesn't like me." And then all of a sudden Ed's received this thought. He didn't cast that thought down. See, he's being shaken in his mind. And all of a sudden he said, "Well, Andy don't like me." So then when he comes around Andy, he kind of looks the other way because he thinks Andy don't like him and Andy really liked him. But now Andy sees, well, what's going on with this guy? Now all of a sudden Andy's going, "Well, you know, Ed doesn't like me." And now all of a sudden we got a problem. We got two guys shunning one another, and there was never any incident. There was never any kind of violation one towards another. There was never any allegations one toward another, except an allegation that came from Satan, the accuser of the brethren. So what are we speaking about? We're speaking about thoughts. We're speaking about mind. You see, Satan, when we talk about this mystery of iniquity, and we talk about this one here, and how is he going to reveal himself, and how is he going to be revealed? If we think of a mystery, and we know that we are to, by the, according to the scriptures and the word, we are to be stewards of the mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is a secret. Well, this secret has been unveiled to me. It is no longer a secret to me. It's no longer a mystery to me. You see, if I'd never been over to Manuel's home, and it would be a mystery how to get there. But once I've walked that course and been over to his home, then it's no longer a mystery to me. And the thing is when we think of the son of perdition, it is no longer a mystery to me because he has been revealed. I found out where he lives, where he dwells, how he speaks, how he manifests. You see, and this is like in many of our churches. when we say Antichrist. They go into much teaching on the Antichrist. And they say, well, the Antichrist is going to come over here in a country called Syria. Or he's going to come out of Lebanon. He's going to come out of one of these Arab nations. And this Antichrist is going to rise up over there. And this government is going to come in. And the money system is going to change. And all these things are going to happen. And they go into all the studies of such. And many times they're very accurate. When it's talking about when we think of the Antichrist revealing in a personification into the perspective of, say, just as the Lord Jesus. And also the church would be teaching that Jesus is coming. And they've got his coming. They've been preaching his coming for 2,000 years. And saying, but the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. You see, what dangerous doctrines is that? And you say, well, don't you believe that, Brother Rob? Sure, I believe that. But I can't teach that the way they teach it. You see, if I keep teaching the Antichrist is going to come and show himself over here, and there's going to be a 7-year tribulation, all that, then I've missed the works of the Antichrist, because the Bible said that the Antichrist is now and he's here. And the Bible goes on to say that there's many Antichrists among us. So this is what I am commanded to teach and indoctrinate within the church to bring a stability in the house of God. And to teach you to walk as overcomers in Christ. I've got to teach you that the Antichrist is already within the earth. And he's already working. And he's already taking people captive. And you say, what about the mark of the beast, Brother Rob? Isn't that something that's going to be futuristic? And I say, sure, to the flesh, but there's people that have already been marked in the spirit. You see, they've already been separated from God. They've already been caught off. The Bible said some beast or brute beast made to be taken and burned. The Bible teaches that some have gone to a place that they cannot find repentance with God. So the thing is this is what we need to understand. So what I guess I could say here is if we're going to talk about the Antichrist, we're going to have to speak about the Antichrist manifesting in the flesh. We're going to have to talk about the Antichrist manifesting in the soul. And we're going to have to talk about the Antichrist manifesting in the spirit. So if we say body, soul, spirit, then we go to the opposite side. We say Father, Word, Holy Ghost. And we say the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the beast. So we find that there, we say we could use a terminology, we could use the term Trinity, which is not a biblical word, but the church world uses it very often. So we could say we find a Trinity, God the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But we say the Bible says that these three are one. Doesn't teach us that they're three gods. It said these three are one. So we rend that veil into body, soul, spirit. But then when we look over at the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast, and we talk about this Antichrist manifesting. Now let's talk about something that is standard that we can understand, for we could expound more so on this beast, this worker of iniquity, we might say, or the mystery of iniquity, or the son of perdition. Now, if we think of God the Father, and we say the Father is invisible, that no man has seen, and we know that the Father is spirit, and we know that Jesus Christ came, and he walked among men as the Son of God and the Son of Man. He said he made himself both twain, both Lord and Christ. So we find that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, walking among the earth, the Bible said that the Spirit of God came to him in the fullness or without measure. So we find Jesus being in the earth with the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within him, or the Father dwelling within him without measure. So the thing is, again, I could go back over to John where it says when they went to Jesus and said, when will we see the Father? And he says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Now this is Jesus speaking to him. He said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. The Bible plainly says one God, one faith, one baptism. And the thing is, we've got to understand one God. We can't teach three gods. When we say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we're not teaching three gods. We're teaching one God, and there's only one person of God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we sit under the teaching, it's saying that the Trinity is the, this is Catholic doctrine. When we sit under a teaching that says that the Trinity is God in three persons, there's no Bible for that, absolutely nowhere. Nowhere in the scriptures is God in three persons. When you have three persons, means three personifications, and when you have three personifications, means you've got three gods. And it's a violation to the word in the scriptures. Now I'm saying all this to say, for this reason, when I go down this trail, we're trying to understand the Godhead. And if we understand the Godhead, then we will get a revelation over when we think of the mystery of iniquity, or when we think of the Antichrist or the Antitype. If we take God and we mirror it, we see the Antitype or the opposite side. Now, And we could bring this right down into your life to understand this. As you as an individual, as both Lord and Christ, or both Son of God and both Son of Man. So the thing is when you're born of God, when you're born again, it's the birthing in the Spirit, and it makes you a child of God. The Bible says, now you are the sons of God. But when you were born by your father and your mother, you're natural, and you are a son of man. He was both Son of Man, both Son of God, both Lord and both Christ, and this is what you are when you're born again. He said, I show you the mystery. When the man and woman married, they become one in the flesh. And when Brother Wayne married Sister Wanda, she gave up her maiden name, and she took on his name, become a young. And when I married unto the Lord Jesus Christ, I did away with my name and I took on his name, which is the Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Christ. And we say we took on his name because we're married unto him. And when we become married unto him, we become joint heirs with him. And we become, when you become an heir, you inherit everything of eternal life in the kingdom of God. And this is what we are, something to rejoice in God for what he has done for us. Amen. This isn't something that we earn by being good or by going to the right church. This is something that he done freely, shed his blood for us and gave us life and made us more than conquerors, amen, and gave us eternal life because of the works of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. So now when we're looking at this Godhead and we're starting to understand here that we say that the Bible teaches that the Father is Spirit and no man is seen, we find the Spirit coming and dwelling or personifying himself in the Lord Jesus. We find Jesus being the personification of God. And then we find he said it's expedient, Jesus speaking, to go back to the Father, which he could have said back to the Spirit, that I could send one back, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Prince of Peace. He said that I could send this back to endue you with power. So now this is the same Spirit, according to the Scriptures, the Bible says that the same Spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus will dwell within your mortal body and will change you in that moment, the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortality. He said the same Spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus will dwell within this body and resurrect you into eternity, or into what I could say immortality, according to the Scriptures. No longer terrestrial, but celestial. So now, when we see this, and we see the works of this Godhead, and we understand the manifestation of it. So now when this Holy Ghost comes and dwells within you as a Christian, it's the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus. Now this Spirit that's dwelling within you is how God is manifesting in the earth today. You see, this is how God feeds the hungry. This is how God reproves the church. The Bible said that judgment begins in the house of God. The Bible said no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him. It's because he's been filled with the Holy Ghost. A minister that has not been filled with the Holy Ghost is not going to be God speaking through him. He'll be speaking out of an intellectual mind. We go back over here and read the Scriptures, and it talks about signs and lying wonders and all with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And this is why we find so much immorality and wickedness within what they call the church or the organized religion. Not speaking against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this many-membered body. I wouldn't speak against that, but I'm saying the organized religious institutions of America and the that have infiltrated their way all around the world with their doctrines of devils and lying, deceiving spirits. The Bible said that he gives us a spirit that we would conform to his image. Now the thing is if we are fellowshipping and partakers within a church that the ministry and the ministry of helps is in immorality and filthiness and things of such, then they're not conforming to the image of God. And there's a problem up in the headship, or in the headquarters, we might say, and it causes much complications. Okay, so now when we understand the Godhead and we start looking to this understanding or revelation of the Godhead and understanding the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, then we come over to the mirrored side, or we look over at the other side and we start trying to understand the Antichrist. And we say, well, this Antichrist is soon to come. Well, you see, this is the same thing the church saying, well, Jesus is soon to come. What makes you think that 2,000 years ago that he left us and forsake us? He said, you go into Jerusalem and you tarry there until you receive power. Amen. And the thing is, he even breathed upon them that they would have the stamina or the staying power for the 10 days until they were filled with this power of God, the Holy Ghost. Now, the thing is that when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what is that? It's the Spirit of God. He never forsook them. He never left them. He came and filled them with the Holy Ghost. What are we looking for, church? Why are we keep saying that God has not come? Why are we saying we're looking for the coming of the Lord? He's already come. Our day and hour has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. The day of the Lord is now. The day of salvation is now. This is what is done for us as we say the Gentile, which we've been converted from being a Gentile to a spirit Jew. And you say, but Brother Rob, you surely know that the Lord Jesus is coming. Who's he coming for? He's coming for the Jew, the natural Jew. We're the spirit Jew. He's already came to us. Let me ask you, if what I'm telling you isn't so here, then why are we keep talking about this catching out? What's he going to catch us out for? And then why does he have to come after he catches us out? If you happen to be one that would believe in what they call pre-tribulation rapture, you see, what are you believing? What are you thinking? What have you been indoctrinated into? Come on, the Lord has already come to us. We're walking in the kingdom of God. We're dwelling in heavenly places. He said that, you know, that he's done caught us away to this. So now there's a lot of things that would open up a lot of controversy and a lot of disputes here. You say, brother, you're teaching that the Lord isn't coming. No, I'm teaching he's already come. But when you see the Lord Jesus Christ walking back on the earth again, he's come for the Jew. The day of the Gentile is over. And the judgment, he said that if he did not hold his wrath back, that there wouldn't have been any that would live through this. And it's the judgment of God. He's coming back in judgment. It says it's the great and terrible day of the Lord. Why would we be as church people saying, oh, we can't wait for this coming? It said it's the great and terrible day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord for us because we've received the infilling of his Spirit. He is dwelling within us. We're walking in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. And this is life. This is life, eternal life. He said that we're more than conquerors in him. He said that we've passed from death unto life. This isn't something future. Do you think that you have to pass from death unto life after they put you in a grave? That's not what the Bible teaches. Let's get away from foolish doctrines of devils. Let's get away from religious traditions and philosophies. Let's stay with the Word of God. He says that we're more than conquerors. He said we passed from death unto life. He said that death has been conquered. And this is what we have to believe. You believe, preacher, that you can't die? I can guarantee you that. I tell you, thus saith the Lord. And if this word is not true that I'm speaking, I wish God would strike me dead in a second. I have passed from death unto life. I am eternal in the Godhead. I cannot die. Well, what happens if somebody kills you, Brother Rob? What happens if somebody walks to the door and blows your brains on the back wall? Well, what's going to happen is this old body is going to fall on the ground. It's going to make a bloody mess that somebody's going to have to clean up. But I'm not dead. Come on, brothers and sisters, that's not death. The Bible doesn't teach that as death. It says that when their forefathers had went on into sleep, and when they put them in that box, it's not death to them because death has been conquered. If death hasn't been conquered, Jesus didn't do what he said he done, and it would make Jesus a liar. And my God is not a liar. He is the Spirit of truth, amen. And he said that we pass from death unto life. And he said that death no more has no hold upon us. Come on, brothers and sisters, this is the Word of God. We're eternal in the Godhead, amen? It doesn't have anything to do of any value of this body. This body may age, it may get old, it may get weak, but there is power and strength and eternity and a spirit of youth and life dwelling within this tabernacle, amen? And one day it'll step out of this old wretched carcass that is walking around in and dwelling in, and it's in the fullness and the power. The Bible said that now ye are the sons of God. The world doesn't see you of what you are. Amen. But we're not of the world. We see in the Spirit. When Jesus was with them, he said, though you don't have eyes to see. You know, even though you have eyes, you don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Brothers and sisters, we've got eyes because we see in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. Let's get away from these dried up, dead religious churches all over the world with their little traditions and bless me clubs. They all come sit in and learn doctrines of devils. Let's get away from that kind of foolishness and stay within the Word, amen, and believe what the Word of God says and believe what Jesus did. He finished it. The last thing he said, he hung his head. He said, it's finished. What's finished? He said, the last enemy of God was death, and that was already conquered. It isn't something coming. So quit thinking that when they put a man in a box, that's death. The only thing that's death to is that man, it's a heathen, and then he will be resurrected up out of that for the second death, according to the word in the scriptures. Amen. The Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So what are you going to do with that? And the Bible talks about some walking with dead men's bones. There's some that are dead while they still yet live, according to the scripture. So you better start learning what death is and how to come to revelational thoughts of that. So when we go and we start understanding the Godhead, and we understand Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and then we come home and we start trying to understand the Antichrist, and we find that if we look over here at the Antichrist, and we say, well, we're looking for Jesus to come back in a body. But if we're looking for Jesus to come back in a body, we're missing what he's doing here today. Because he's among us. The Bible said, two or three come together in my name, he's in our midst. Amen? So the thing is we got to believe that. Now the thing is we can't keep teaching that he's coming, and he's coming because evidently if we're not saying that he's here, that means that you're not in his name, amen? Who came in the name of the Lord tonight? Who came in the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, I say that there's more than two of us here tonight, and I say that he's here, amen? Why do I have to keep talking about him coming someday, amen? Hallelujah. So the thing is, we're going to have to recognize that he's here. And you say, but Brother Rob, I want to see him with my eyes. I want to see him sitting on the throne. And you know what he would say to you for that kind of thought? The same thing he said to Doubting Thomas. More blessed is the man who believes without seeing. Are you simply going by sight? The Bible teaches us different than that. That we live by faith, not by sight. Why do you have to see this Jesus when walking among men for you to have faith? I got faith. I know who he is and what he's done for me, and I know that he's dwelling within my heart, and I know that he filled me with his spirit, and I know that he is alive today. I know that he is about the Father's business today. I know that we are partakers of his spirit, and we are part of that many-membered body, and that we are going to and fro, or going through the traveling, or into other countries, or around our hometowns, or whatever, ministering the word of God, because it's Jesus that's dwelling in us. If we are Christians and we say that he's in our heart, then why do we keep thinking he's out on some planet somewhere? You know, start believing it. Hey, God's dwelling within me. I'm a tabernacle of the living God. Hallelujah. The power of the resurrected living God is dwelling within me. Amen. This is what we have to believe. Okay, so now we're speaking of the manifestation of God within the earth in a many-membered body. Now this is something that we have to understand. The Bible said, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So this is what we're talking about, you receiving the spirit of revelation. Now, if we're going to speak like this, then we're going to have to talk about the works of the devil. And this is what happens. We go into teachings and doctrines and different things, and we're teaching this Antichrist in some futuristic world, or that he's going to come on the scene and he's going to take over the world. That's right. We do need to teach that, because this is what we're teaching Jesus is going to do. But the thing is if we're teaching just that and not believing like the Bible said that there's many Antichrists among you, then we're not understanding that the spirit of the Antichrist is dwelling within humanity in this day and hour. Now we're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about the Antichrist. Well, let me tell you about your Jesus right now, in what we're going to call the dispensation of grace. We know that we're in a dispensation of grace. Dispensation means a timely perspective. So when we think of in this time of grace, I'm going to talk about your Jesus. I'm going to talk about the news media that I hear on the news of a lady over in Texas or Louisiana. She takes her children because God spoke to her. And she drowns her children in a bathtub because things are so going to be so bad in this world. I talk about another woman right over here, I think in Virginia or somewhere over here, that takes her children and straps them in the back seat of her car. And she drives them off in the water and drowns them. I'm talking about men that call themselves fathers or grandfathers or whatever, slicing the throats of little babies and children. Where is your Jesus? I thought he was love. Where is your Jesus? I thought he was a just God. Where's he at when these things are happening? Come on, brothers and sisters, where is your Jesus at? Man, but he is the God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's all power and he's all authority. Then why is he letting these people slice the throats of these children and these wicked mothers doing these hideous things? Why? You say, Brother Rob, man, you got yourself in a trap now. Man, you're in trouble. What are you going to do with that? Let's talk about the devil for a minute. With all of his lying and deceiving and all those things. Kind of quiet in here, isn't it? Well, think about it. Let me tell you something. If Jesus does something about the things that I'm speaking about, it means that the dispensation of grace is over. That means that he's come in judgment. So because of him allowing these things to happen, is showing the mercy and love, and that little child that got drowned is immediately present in the kingdom of God and present with the Lord, and that's the mercies and the love of God. And the thing is if God brought judgment to them and stopped that, then he's got to bring judgment to you for your foolishness. If it's sowing strife or discord among the brethren, that's the same kind of sin, the thing that God hates, and he's going to bring judgment to you at the same time and put you into hell. So what is it? It's the mercies of God. So now here's what we're speaking about now, is we find that Jesus, the only thing Jesus is doing in the earth in this day and hour is what he is doing through the body of Christ. And that means that Jesus is dwelling within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's no longer the man speaking, but Christ speaking according to the word. Now, when you go out to witness and you go out to speak to people or to testify God or live a godly life, it's Jesus dwelling in you, and the things that you're doing and testifying are to bring an understanding of him. That's the only way God's speaking today to the people, is he's using the ministry of God and he's speaking to the people through a vocal utterance and bringing forth the word. Not taking away of an individual of God speaking by the Spirit to a man. But here's the thing that we need to discern. I have hundreds of people come to me and say, man, I've heard from the Spirit of God. God spoke to me to do this and that. And God said this and God said that. And I know the voice of God and I listen closely. And all they heard was from their own intellectual mind. Or they heard from Satan. And Satan comes in and he could sound really close. Would deceive the very elect if it were possible. I have people say on a continuous basis that God spoke to them and said thus, thus, and thus, and it didn't come to pass. And it isn't that way. So was it God? Does God lie? He can't lie. Now, we find that God does speak to man. But the Bible said, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. There's three things speaking to your mind. You got a conscience mind. And you're going to have your human spirit speaking to it. Out of necessity, the human spirit's going to be crying out in that conscious mind saying, hey, I'm hungry. Hey, I've got to go to the restroom. Hey, I'm tired. I want to lay down. And many times the carnal mind or the human mind of human reasoning has many ideas and thoughts. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And I want to do this. And many ministers, you know, praise God. God spoke to me and said, go to Hawaii because it's kind of cold here. I think Hawaii's sounding a real good place to preach the gospel. You know, it's getting rather cold. It's a rather little bit hot, and I don't think God would want me over in the Philippines in the steam bath. I think he would rather have me going up here, maybe over here to Alaska where it's a little bit cool, you know. But see, that's not the way God works. I don't care if God wants to take me to the inferno. If he says to go, I'm going to go and there won't be a hair singed on my head if I'm walking in the mind of God. So when we think of the things that are speaking to your mind, you say, brother, you're teaching schizophrenia. Well, let me tell you can call it anything you want, but I'm telling you there's more than one voice speaking into your mind. Because you will, if you're not, then the Bible's violated. The Bible said, where Paul said, I'm in a continual warfare. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The things that I want to do are the very things I find myself not doing, and the very things I don't want to do are the very things that I find myself doing. You see, he was in a warfare. How many of you think, you know, after you come to a conversion in Christ or you get born again, you go out there and you say, man, that old Budweiser sounds pretty good. Was that Jesus talking to you? Oh, no, that was myself. Then what was that other voice saying? You know better than that. Boy, am I teaching schizophrenia tonight? No, I'm preaching that there's a conscience and a God speaking through that conscience. But when the Bible said, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God, we're going to have to start discerning what's speaking in our conscience, where we won't be soon shaken in our mind. We need to find out what's speaking within that mind and start trying the Spirit and see if this is your intellectual human reasoning. Find out if this is Satan speaking, the Antichrist, trying to be the deceiver of the brethren, the accuser of the brethren, coming with his accusing thoughts. This is what we need to know. We need to find to discern that and find out how to discern what's speaking and what tell me this or that. You see, and many times people make decisions and move because they feel like it's God speaking to them and it wasn't God at all. Don't you know that when Satan himself came and spoke to Jesus, he spoke the word? But I heard the Bible and I heard the word. Let me tell you something. I can give you all kinds of Bible contrary to what else the Bible says. And you say, you think there's things contrary in the Bible? Most definitely they're contrary when you look at it through the natural or the physical or the spiritual. Because the Bible itself says that the things of the Spirit are contrary to the things of the flesh. And this Bible speaks about the flesh and this Bible speaks about the Spirit. So I say there's things contrary in here. When I'm speaking of the flesh and I'm speaking it's appointed unto man wants to die, then I got to speak to man as death and say that death will have its rule and its reign because it's appointed unto man wants to death. But I'm speaking by the Spirit and say that I've passed from death unto life and that I'm eternal in the Godhead because I am no longer a man, but I am a born-again man or a born-again child of God. Amen. So the thing is there's a difference because the Bible said old things passed away and all things become new. Amen. So if I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, this is an eternal creature that is living forever and ever in eternity with Christ, that death has been conquered. So if I speak as a man, I speak death. If I speak as a born again man, I speak as life. Amen. That's one contrary one to the other. If I speak as a born again individual, I speak of me being a creature of light and the Spirit of light dwelling in me. If I speak as a man, I speak as darkness. Amen. So we got to understand these things. So when we bring out the things of the Godhead, understanding the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and we go over speaking about the Son of Perdition, and we say if we are just waiting for the manifestation of this son of perdition, or we say this Antichrist to come over in a foreign country and take over rule, we're going to miss what he's doing today when he's stealing your children away from you and stealing your joy away from you, stealing your salvation away from you, which it can't be taken. Salvation in Christ, there ain't no devil of hell could take that. But what you think is your salvation, when it's taken away, you never had it. Amen. When you lose your joy and your peace in the Lord, there's something wrong and it's time to do a checkup. Amen. So now we're talking about the Antichrist here for just a moment. Now when we think of this Antichrist, we think of him manifesting. Now we're talking about Jesus. He's going to be speaking through the ministry of God and through the children of God to witness. The Bible says to go into all the world being a witness. So the Bible says that you're a written epistle, read and known of all men. So see, we are the Word of God being read by people. Now the thing is when we think of the Antichrist that came to steal, kill and destroy, when I think of a mother that drowns her children, or when I think of one slicing the throat, or one taking the gun and blowing the brains out, this is a manifestation of the Antichrist in the earth. It's Antichrist. You see, Christ is life. This is death. It's Antichrist. You see what I'm saying? And what it is these spirits, they cannot kill, they cannot steal. The Bible said that he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And they cannot destroy unless one thing. They come and find a body to manifest in. The Bible teaches about these spirits seeking in the dry places, looking for a place of inhabitation. And it speaks about this. It speaks about a man coming into a church and being delivered from these demonic spirits and things. And these spirits flee. And it says it goes out into the dry places. And if they come back and find that vessel swept clean, but not infilled with the Holy Ghost, where that strong man is in there, dwelling and said, you ain't coming back into here. And this is why we lay hands on no man suddenly. And sometimes it's temporarily just swept clean, but they never brought the infilling of the Holy Ghost in because they still love the things that be of the world. And the thing is when those spirits go out into dry places, it brings back seven more just like it. And they come and dwell within that individual. And the end of the matter is worse. So what are we speaking about here? We're speaking about the spirit of the Antichrist manifested in human people or human beings, we say, in this present day and hour. When that woman slices the throat, when the man pulls the trigger on the gun, when they do these things to kill and steal and destroy, it's because they have yielded their vessel over to the Antichrist. Now let's don't look just at hideous things of death and murder and all those kind of things. We could talk about a man that's so big in business and he might be giving all of his money to the poor and he might be ever so big in business and is still the Antichrist because he's gone place to that spirit and it's anti-type of Christ because of the things is that he has not been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we have to, you know, in my testimony on the web, you know, I could have testified. Like you find many ministers come in and say, man, thank God for delivering me from drugs. Thank God for delivering me from alcohol. Thank God for delivering me from perversion. Or thank God for delivering me from this. My greatest testimony is I thank God for delivering me from religious spirits. Amen. The religious spirit is the most powerful spirit in America today. Religious spirits are the most powerful spirits in America today because everybody has religion and everybody's got God and everybody's got church and they're all preaching the same thing. God is love. God is love. God is love. He is love, but he's also angry with the wicked, pursuing them off the face of the earth. We need to bring and understand God in his wrath, understand God in his judgment. He is love. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And he took the price on the cross of Calvary, the penalty of the sin for us. That's the love of God. But he loved us so much that he gave back his Holy Ghost and the power, brothers and sisters, that we could keep ourselves unspotted from the world. He gave us the power to come out of the world and be a separate people. He gave us the power over alcohol and perversion. He gave us the power over pornography. He gave us the power over lust of the flesh. He gave us power over all of the things it would be of the flesh. That's the love of God. And we walk in the spirit and the sound mind of Christ. And we're overcomers in Christ. That's the power of God, brothers and sisters. That's what we walk in. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this. I was trying to differentiate here between the Christ and the Antichrist. Try to differentiate here between God, you know, and we say the Son of God. And the Holy Ghost, we say the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that these three are one. The Bible talks about water, blood, spirit. It said these three agree in one. Now the thing is when we go over to the antitype, and we're bringing forth here that when man submits himself to the devil, or to these fleshly, wicked thoughts, then he's yielded his members over to the Antichrist. Now we're going to use Brother Peter as an example again. We do it so oftentimes, but he's probably the finest example we could find in the Word. When he was before the Lord Jesus, and Jesus asked the question to many of his disciples that were there, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Some said, "Elias." And then, but Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he said, "This was not revealed to you by man, but this was revealed to you by the Spirit." But then later on, the very day, as Peter's walking along with the Lord Jesus, and Jesus starts because he knew now that a man had the revelation of who he was. And when Jesus knew that man, that this revelation was received by man, he knew that he had done his work on earth. What, that's what he came for, to bring the revealing of Christ and the revealing of God manifesting in man that God was walking in the earth. And when Peter saw this, the Lord knew that he'd done everything that he came to do. So then his whole course and direction changed, and he started looking to Jerusalem, where he knew that he would be crucified and put to death. So then he started sharing this news now that the revelation went forth, and started sharing it with them and saying, you know, this is what's going to happen. You know, the Son of Man is going to go there and he's going to be crucified, and 3 days later. And Peter speaks up and says, "Man, we're not going to let this happen to you. You know, this and that." And he got rebuked, didn't he? He said, "Get ye behind me, Satan." That's what Jesus said. Now the Catholic Church says that's their first pope. That's their first pope. But Jesus said, "Get ye behind me, Satan." Oh my. That means that Peter was Satan. That's sure phenomenal that there was 3,000 added to the church on the first day when the Holy Ghost was given. And he preached the gospel, a man being full of the Holy Ghost. Then he walked by the people. He took the man at the gate called Beautiful, and he reached down and took him by the hand and yanked him up. And the power came into his ankles. And the man that was crippled from birth got up and walked. Was that Satan that done that? Is that what we just read about there in the scriptures? About the lying signs and wonders and these deceiving spirits? Is that what we're reading about? If Peter was Satan and those healings and all those things took place, was that the works of the devil? Well, what was it? But did Jesus lie when he said, "Get ye behind me, Satan"? Could Jesus lie? Surely he couldn't lie. And you say, "Well, I got it figured out, Brother Rob. That was before the Holy Ghost was poured out. And this was before the Holy Ghost was poured out. And Peter had not yet received the Holy Ghost when this happened." But then if he did not have the Holy Ghost, then how did he have the revelation of the Lord? And I do teach that the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. But then if it was the Holy Ghost that caused the baby to flip over in the womb, did John the Baptist have the Holy Ghost before it was yet given? Now, come on, I'm talking to some of you Bible scholars here. Think about it. You know, what's the Word say? But Jesus wasn't crucified yet. He was crucified before the foundation of the world, according to the scriptures and the word. So see, we have to know how to speak as unto spirituals. We need to rightly divide the word of God according to the scriptures. So the thing is we need to understand some things. So what is it? Was Peter the devil? You see, it was the spirit of the Antichrist that moved within him. Now let's talk about this. Are you saying that he was possessed by the devil? Possession, if I have a possession that I own, is one thing. Now the thing is a man could be oppressed by a devil. A Christian could be oppressed by a devil. And a devil could come in their mind and it could oppress them and make them and even speak through them. By them yielding their thoughts to carnality. The carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. And I've seen Christian people that truly love God yield themselves over to Satan and find Satan speaking through them and it's not Christ. Now that does not make them possessed with the devil. It means that they have given place to the devil and they keep on giving place with that. He will possess that. But we're in a dispensation of time called grace and the blood is there on the mercy seat and this expose of the son of perdition is when the blood comes off of the mercy seat and when this blood comes off of the mercy seat it said that then at that time they will be revealed of what they always were. Amen. The Bible said that when you turn and do evil that all of the goodness that you've done is forgotten. Slate wiped clear. And the thing is, the Bible said that when you was wicked and you turn to God and do good, that all the wickedness is forgotten. Now, is this teaching a thing that we can take our chances here and we'll just live wicked and we're going to turn and do good and all the wickedness is forgotten? Go ahead and play that Russian roulette game. You're going to find a bullet through your brains when you're burning in hell. That's not at all what that teaches. We need to understand this word. We need to get serious about this Bible and what it's talking about and what it's teaching and quit walking in traditions of men. Quit walking in what grandma and grandpa taught. Quit walking in what maybe somebody else. Let's get in the word of God. Grandma and grandpa may have been all right. Maybe they, you know, but the Bible said sin's not imputed unless there's a knowledge. And maybe they didn't have a knowledge of what we're talking about tonight. But let's get serious in this word. And let's start finding out what this word's truly saying. And let's start walking as overcomers in Christ. Amen. Now when Peter had made this statement, he said, "Get you behind me, Satan." Was he speaking to Peter? We say, well, sure he was. But we're going to differentiate and know that he was speaking to the serpent. He was speaking to Satan that was manifesting and used him because Peter yielded to the carnal mind. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. And Peter yielded through carnality. The Bible said he savored the things that would be of the flesh. Now tell me, every one of us would have been rebuked for that. I would have been, I'll just sit here and confess to you. If I was there, Jesus would have said to Brother Rob, he would have said, "Get you behind me, Satan." Because I would have been saying, "Lord, I love you. I've seen the great things you've done. You've been teaching me life and the mysteries of life. Jesus, I've seen you heal the, open the blinded eyes. I've seen you do all this. And you think we're going to let this happen to you?" And he would have said, "Brother Rob, get you behind me, Satan." Because that's what I would have been thinking. But you see, he knew there was a purpose to go to the cross of Calvary. He knew there was a purpose of death.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.